this evening, we turn to the last book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and we read the whole of the chapter. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And ye went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that ye have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eliezer, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him on a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. May God bless to us that very interesting portion of Holy Scripture. Amen. Now, as we come to the commencement of this series of ministry on the book of Judges, we are now to contemplate another of those neglected sections of Holy Scripture. Many might preach on isolated characters who appear in this book, such as Gideon and Samson and so on. They have been the basis for many a sermon. But to deal with this book as a whole, and the position which it occupies in the Word of God and in the history of Israel, is a task seldom undertaken. Although there are some triumphs of faith recorded in the book of Judges, the overall picture is one of declension and apostasy. The keynote to a right understanding of the 21 verses which are ahead of us is contained in one sentence, and it is this: in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Three times is that statement made in this book: in chapter 17 and verse 6, chapter 18 verse 1, and chapter 21 and verse 25. There is much history and geography which comes within the terms of reference of this study. And if we are not prepared to look into it, then much of the book of Judges will have little meaning to us. God the Holy Spirit inspired all these chapters, and they appear within the pages of Holy Writ to be read and to be expounded, not to be passed over as of no importance. These names and places are a part of all Scripture, which is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, as stated in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Therefore, we shall examine all these things, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, hope to come to a right understanding of the truth being set forth, and so be instructed to our spiritual profit. The book of Judges covers a period of roughly three centuries, possibly a little over. That's a great space of time. It's at least 3 centuries, possibly over. It spans the years from the death of Joshua, which we have read this evening, covers the space, the period of the death of Joshua, right up to the time of Samuel the prophet. Israel's wanderings in the wilderness had ended. Moses had brought them through right up to the borders of the promised land. But as we know, Moses was not allowed to take them into Canaan because of his sin at Meribah, which is recorded in the book of Numbers, chapter 20 and verse 12. However, Moses was allowed to view the land as he came to the border. He was allowed to view the land of Canaan, which God had promised to that people which he had led. He viewed it from a vantage point on Mount Pisgah. And then alone with God, for he was, Moses was alone with God in a valley in the land of Moab. He died. He was alone with God. No one else was with him. He died in the land of Moab, and God himself buried him in Beth Peor, in an unknown and in an unmarked grave. Then it was that Joshua, the divinely appointed successor to Moses, took over. And he led the children of Israel across Jordan and right into the land itself. After a number of battles with varying groups who were inhabiting the land, Joshua, who was assisted by Eleazar, appointed to each of the tribes their territory. No small task, acting under God, of course, but they crossed over Jordan, entered the land, and now to Eleazar and to Joshua there was appointed this task of dividing up the territory. The book of Joshua, from chapters 13 to 21, give the details of this. Many chapters there in the book of Joshua were devoted to the particular land and territory which was divided up to those children. And this map will give you an idea as to how the land was divided. Now you will see that Simeon's name, he was one of the 12 tribes, his name is not mentioned. Simeon shared the tribe of the portion of land which was appointed to the tribe of Judah. Judah had by far the greatest section of land. In fact, the territory of Judah was just over a third of the whole of the area. So that's how it was divided up. You might note, particularly at this time, Dan, that was the smallest area that was allotted to this man, but that was a very, very fertile area, and he also had access to the coast, which was an advantage. Benjamin was also a small tribe, and there you get an idea as to how the land was apportioned to them. Now, although the children of Israel had reached the promised land, and each tribe had now been allocated their specific area, it did not mean that they were in full possession of it, for they were not. There were many other peoples and tribes who had occupied the land of Canaan for a very long period. The Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, all of these had to be driven out and put down before the Israelites could really possess their possessions and really say that they possessed that which God had given to them. Well, now, added to this was the fact that some of the tribes had more enemies in their territory than did others. And this was a real bone of contention. Some of the tribes had very fertile areas, whilst others were not so fortunate. Their areas were not so fertile. Indeed, some areas were quite barren and mountainous. Well, this in itself caused tension and discontent. So instead of Israel standing together as a people and uniting for the good of all the tribes, there tended to be factions and trouble among themselves. Well, this obviously greatly weakened their position with regard to more major foes. However, as long as Joshua was alive, strong leader that he was, and a most godly man, he, both by example and leadership, was able to maintain at least some degree of order and unity among those Israelites. Well, this brings us to verse 1 of the first chapter of the book of Judges. And this is how the book of Judges commences. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass. Now, I'm not going into the book of Judges this evening, only just to give you that opening phrase. After the death of Joshua, it came to pass. Well, that which came to pass after Joshua had died, we are to see over the months which are ahead of us, God willing. Well, the first thing that we must know is that after the death of Joshua, there was no leader appointed. Neither did they have a king, of course. There was no monarch ordained before Saul. And that takes us well over into the lifetime of Samuel, which would cover at least another 350 years. And it was during this time that God gave to Israel judges, after the death of Joshua, right up to the time of the appointment of Saul as king. Now, these judges were not judiciaries as we know judges to be today. They were men raised up by God at strategic points in the history of Israel. They were raised up specifically at different times to administer the laws of the Lord, to hold the reins of government, and so on. They were to guide spiritually, and they were to govern justly, ruling for the good and for the protection of these 12 tribes. Well, covering those centuries, which are known as the days of the judges, there were quite a number of them whom God raised up over those 3.5 centuries. They were all men except one. There was one woman amongst them. I'll give you the names of most of them in any case. They were all men, I say, except one. Her name was Deborah. Well, the first one raised up was a man called Othniel in chapter 3 and verse 2. A man called Ehud is mentioned in chapter 3 and verse 15. And then Shamgar, chapter 3 and verse 31. Deborah, chapter 4, verse 4. Barak, chapter 4 and verse 5. Gideon, better known to us probably, in chapter 6. Tola, chapter 10, verse 1. Jair, chapter 10 and verse 3. Jephthah, chapter 11, verse 1. Ibzah, chapter 12, verse 8. Elon, chapter 12, verse 11. Abdon, chapter 12, verse 13. Samson chapter 13. And I expect most of us never knew that these men existed. But we shall know now going through the book of Judges. Their names come on the pages of Holy Writ for a purpose. There's Samson in chapter 13. Well, we know a bit about him. There were probably others. Indeed, Samuel was one. And he was the last. He was the last of the judges. In fact, he is thought by a number of commentators to have written the book of Judges. But this is conjecture, because the Holy Spirit does not tell us. And yet, going further into this book, it does look quite probable that Samuel could have been the man under God who wrote the book of Judges. As always, when commencing a fresh series, I endeavor to give some documentation, that which will, to some degree at least, set a background. It would therefore be helpful in this introductory sermon to briefly look into that which we have read this evening. In fact, it's essential that that chapter be read before we move into the book of Judges. The actual death of Joshua. I say it's essential that we look into his death, because it was from this point, or very soon after, that the first of the judges was appointed. The last recorded scenes in the life of this great leader in Israel are both poignant and profound. Joshua was an amazing character. And we read this evening at the commencement of our reading. Verse 1 of Joshua 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now this was indeed a most solemn assembly. I want to point out the location which was chosen for that gathering. It was Shechem. It was at this spot that verse 1 of Joshua 24 says, they presented themselves before God at Shechem. And there the tribes of the children of Israel presented themselves before God. Well, what is the significance of Shechem? We have to go back to Genesis chapter 12 in verse 6. And there we read, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. At Shechem, Abraham built an altar unto the Lord. Now that was the very first altar to the living God which Canaan had ever seen. Over 500 years had passed from that day to this gathering of all Israel before Joshua. But surely their minds must have gone back to their illustrious ancestor, Abraham, who built the very first altar to the living God in that area. At that same spot, Shechem, nearly 200 years after Abraham, a parcel of ground in that land was purchased by Jacob, and he too erected an altar. In Genesis 33 and verse 18, and Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it Elohai Israel. Jacob pitched his tent there for a season. And whilst he was there, he bought a parcel of ground to enable him to build an altar unto the Lord. And it was at this spot that Jacob dug a well in that parcel of ground. He dug a well. And that well was still in existence some 1800 years later in the days of our Lord. And it's recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Still there. The mortal remains of Joseph that were brought up out of Egypt, for he'd given commandment when God moved his people out, his bones were not to remain in Egypt. And his mortal remains were dug up and they were carried up to the promised land. And where were they buried? In the selfsame spot. He read it this evening, Joshua 24, verse 32. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Moses, when in sight of the promised land, brought the children of Israel right up to the borders. And as he viewed the promised land from that vantage point of Mount Pisgah, there in the sight of the promised land, and so shortly before his death, he gave commandment that when they should pass over the Jordan into the promised land, they were to build an altar unto the Lord on Mount Ebal. These were among the last words spoken by Moses. When you pass over, he was not allowed to go. But he said, when you pass over, you're to build an altar unto the Lord on Mount Ebal. Now, Mount Ebal was just a peak which rose from the valley of Shechem. Deuteronomy 27, verses 4 and 5, therefore it shall be when ye shall be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God. And this Joshua had done. For when we come over to Joshua chapter 8 and verse 30, there we read, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And so was carried out the instructions given by Moses. And so the associations and the memories which surrounded this place, Shechem, at which now all Israel was gathered, must have added great impressiveness to the parting words of their great leader Joshua. Those words which we have read this evening in our public reading, where God's gracious dealings with them were rehearsed. His dealings with their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And three times in that chapter did Joshua exhort them to choose Jehovah as their God and to faithfully serve him. Verse 3 says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Now the flood here means the great Euphrates River. Let no one be so foolish as to think it pertains to Noah. It's nothing to do with that flood at all. The flood, as mentioned here, is the great river Euphrates, and it's often referred to in this way in Scripture. And Abraham, in his unregenerate days before God called him, he dwelt the other side of that great river, which they looked upon as being a flood. And God says, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, or from the other side of that great river. Now, that was not Abraham's choice. It was not Abraham's choice which took him out of Ur of the Chaldees. It was the sovereign decree and purpose of the Almighty God to separate him from his idolatrous kindred and give to his descendants the land of promise. That was the purpose of God. And so he took Abraham out from Ur of the Chaldees, from the other side of the great river. It was the mighty arm of Jehovah which plagued Egypt, as we have read. It was his arm which had divided the Red Sea and brought the Hebrews safely through on dry land, and then caused those waters to return again and so destroy Pharaoh and his pursuing armies. It was the Lord who had driven out the Amorites and given them a land for which they did not labor, and cities which they had not built, as we read in verse 12. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye now eat. The promises made to Abraham had been fulfilled. The steadfast faith of that patriarch had been justified. And this great company who had issued from him now gather for the last time around Joshua, presenting themselves before God, and hearing their great leader's last words as he rehearsed the wonderful works of God on their behalf. Greatly moved by his words, and no doubt also by the wonderful historical associations of that place at which they were now assembled, these Israelites bound themselves no less than three times to serve the Lord. Joshua 24, verses 16, 21, and 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Now it must be said that the men of that generation did remain faithful. Verse 31 confirms this. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. I ask, how could it have been otherwise? They had seen the conquests of Joshua, and how God had wrought so mightily on their behalf through him. And so, standing there in Shechem, the site of Abraham's first altar, in view of Jacob's well and Joseph's tomb, putting it all together, it was a most awesome gathering, and by it the Israelites at that time were greatly influenced, causing them to say, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. And this that generation did. All that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel, they all served God faithfully. Well, this then will give us some little idea of the background of the book of Judges. Exactly how long it was between the death of Joshua and the first verse of the book of Judges, we cannot definitely say, but it must have been a number of years. And during that time, the Canaanites, who under Joshua had been put down, according to verse 13 of Joshua 24, they had recovered their position somewhat, and they were now posing a threat to Israel once again. Now, this is quite understandable from a human point of view. It's quite understandable that these heathen people would take heart again now that these Israelites were without a leader. And this is exactly what happened. The Canaanites, you see, were biding their time, getting their forces mobilized and ready to burst forth upon Israel unawares. As the Canaanites viewed it, Joshua had appointed no successor. They probably looked upon that as being a great failure on his part, a great weakness. Surely he should have seen that someone took his place. Doubtless this is how the Canaanites viewed it. No leader. None who could now organize a battle. And the older generation had died off, and the Israelites were now just drifting along. All right if there was no opposition, but very vulnerable. A sitting target, as the heathen nations saw her at this time. This then is the introduction to this series of ministry, dear ones. This has set the stage and brings us up to the first chapter of the book of Judges, which chapter we shall move into next week, God willing. And may the hand of God, by his Holy Spirit, be upon us as we contemplate the truth contained in this neglected section of Holy Scripture, that through our study of it, God might be honored and we his people blessed. Amen. Hymn number 744. 744. When we cannot see our way, let us trust and still obey. He who bids us forward go cannot fail the way to show. 744.
Bids us forward.
Father and our God. How interesting indeed are many of these incidents which thou hast caused to be recorded in Holy Scripture. We can picture the scene as so much detail is set out before us, and as we compare other scriptures with it, which but enhance the overall picture. Our God, we thank thee that it comes to us in a very vivid way, and yet beneath it all, thou hast great spiritual lessons to teach us. And as we have this evening got some idea of the background of all that is before us, we pray that it might help us in that which we shall later see. And so we commend this series of ministry into the gracious hands of the Holy Spirit, that it shall redound to thy glory, that it shall result in great help and profit to every one of us. So dismiss us now with thy blessing. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.